Lord Jesus, we worship you. You are the true King. You're worthy of our honor. And we look to you now, Lord, and ask, please, that you would teach us from your scriptures and give us encouragement and hope for living now as your people. Amen. Do please sit down. And may I add my welcome to Rogers. It's great to see you here this morning. We've got two Bible readings, Daniel 7, Matthew 13 today. Those are going to come during my talk. There's an outline on page 2 in the notice sheet, if that helps you. There are 4 points on that, but I've actually cut one of those, the second point, to shorten my talk a little bit today. So if we could have the PowerPoint, Julian. For 10 Sundays, we've been working our way through the Bible, seeking to understand more of God's big plan for his world. We're looking at the big story of God's kingdom, starting with Adam and Eve in Genesis, working our way through to Jesus Christ. And now, last week and this week, we've moved forward to today. Where is the kingdom now in 2023? We've seen how the details and manifestation of God's plan have been different at different points in history, different at the time of Abraham, different at the time of King David and Solomon, for instance. But at each stage, God's plan has been to create a people of his own, living in the place that he has appointed for them and under his good rule and government. This is summed up as God's people in God's place, under God's rule. And we've looked at how Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises in this regard. In Jesus, we encounter the true King to lead God's people. And that includes us here at All Saints Church this morning. The way to become part of God's people is to get connected to this true King. Through the death of King Jesus, we can enter into the people of God. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead was the great event which showed his status as the true King and Savior given to us from God. As we heard from Ayla last week, Jesus then ascended to heaven and is now reigning with God the Father. He gives himself to us today in the person of the Holy Spirit that we can live for him now in our day-to-day lives. So today we celebrate Jesus. He is at the center of God's unfolding plan, and we worship him as our true King and ruler. But it's now 2023. And it won't be long before 2,000 years have passed since Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Where is God's kingdom now in 2023? At the time of David and Solomon, the kingdom was a physical bit of geography east of the Mediterranean Sea. You can see it on the map there, the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Solomon ruled over a geographic kingdom of soil and rock, of roads and towns. The New Testament presents Jesus as the King of God's kingdom. But in contrast to the previous kings of Israel and Judah, Jesus didn't rule over a government during his earthly lifetime. He had no human army at his disposal. He didn't have a throne of power over a particular nation. Here and now, we live in a world of mighty kingdoms: Russia, America, Japan, Iran, the UK, to name a few. They don't all have kings. Some political structures have developed, but they all have rulers, and they are mighty powers. Where is God's kingdom in all this today? Well, the answer is that we're living during the in-between days. We're in the age between Jesus' first coming, his first advent, and his return as king, his second advent, which we're still looking forward to. We're in the period where God's kingdom has not yet been fully realized. Yes, the kingdom is now, but it's also not yet, in that there is so much more to come when Jesus returns. And this is our goal and prize that we're living for. We're currently living in the age of the Holy Spirit. We're called to live faithfully under the leadership of Jesus' teachings, led by his Spirit, while we wait with eager expectation for his return as king. Then he'll bring the fullness of his kingdom. Then his kingdom will cover the whole renewed earth. And then we will fully be God's people, living in God's place under his rule. So we've got two Bible readings for today. And each of these will help you with your expectations as you live in God's now and not yet kingdom in your daily lives. We need to get our expectations right. So let's hear our first reading. It's taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and you can find it on page 892. Anne Rolfe and Linda Grote are going to come and read it to us.
The first reading is in Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 to 28. This can be found on page 892 in the Church Bibles. A vision given to the prophet Daniel while God's people were living in exile in Babylon about 550 years before Jesus was born. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully as I looked. Thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed.
The interpretation of the dream. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever, yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up, before which three of them fell. The horn looked more imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise different from the earlier ones. He will subdue the 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times and half a time. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you very much for that reading. The main point that I want you to get from Daniel's mysterious vision is that today God is building his worldwide eternal kingdom under the rule of King Jesus. There it is on the screen. I wonder how you felt as you listened to Anne and Linda reading Daniel's vision of these four strange beasts. Some people love this bit of the Bible and get very excited about it. Well, some just find it a bit frightening and weird and try to avoid it. It does have a similar feel to some of John's visions in the book of Revelation, visions that were given many hundreds of years after Daniel's vision. If Daniel's vision makes you feel uncomfortable, then you are in good company. Look at how Daniel felt about it after he'd seen it, verse 28. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale. So it was a difficult vision for him then. Let me briefly set the scene. And you may remember this from earlier in this series. God has banished his people from Judah. Jerusalem and the temple have been burnt by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He attacked Jerusalem in the year 586 BC. He destroyed the city, burnt the temple. And Daniel, along with many other Jews, were taken to Babylon into exile from the promised land. But Daniel was chosen to be a key civil servant in the Babylonian kingdom, working with different kings during his lifetime. And in the first year of King Belshazzar's reign, Daniel's lying in bed at night and he has a vision during a dream. The purpose of this vision is to help the discouraged people of God. The vision told them that in spite of their current exile, the kingdom of God will come. God will appoint a ruler, one like a son of man, to rule over God's eternal kingdom. And we can see this in verses 13 and 14. Do have a look with me if you've got your Bible open. This is a key couple of verses in the passage. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, who I think we understand to be God the Father. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So this son of man in the vision, try to imagine it. Daniel's having a vision in his dream, and he sees this one who looks like a son of man, looks like a human being. And he will rule an everlasting kingdom. In the New Testament Gospels, Jesus uses the expression son of man to refer to himself many times. We therefore understand this to be a prophetic vision about Jesus. The vision's from about 550 years before Jesus was born. And it's about the coming kingdom of God, which Jesus will rule. Well, what about the strange beasts? In your notice sheet, you can find this handout, which will hopefully help you with understanding this a bit. And it will also appear on the screen in a few moments' time. In his vision, Daniel sees four beasts in sequence, and then he sees the Son of Man. The first beast is like a lion with wings, the wings of an eagle. Its wings are torn off in the vision, and it's given the heart of a man. Then in his vision, he saw a beast like a bear that eats up its fill of flesh. The third one looks like a leopard with four bird's wings and four heads. And lastly, before the Son of Man comes, there's a mysterious fourth beast. This one is unnamed. It's different from the former beasts. As Daniel looks at it, he can't identify it with any known creature. It was very powerful. It crushed its victims. It had 10 horns, each of the horns being a symbol of the power of a different king. It was a monster, and it terrified Daniel. Well, what does all this mean? In the second half of the vision, Daniel is given an interpreter. Daniel, like us, wants to know the meaning of it all, and especially the monster, the fourth beast. Verse 23 gives us a key to understand the vision. Have a look with me, verse 23. The interpreter explains. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. So this tells us that the four beasts in the vision represent kingdoms, earthly kingdoms, kingdoms that we would recognize, powerful nations. And the beasts in the book of Revelation are the same, representing kingdoms and nations. So have a look on your sheet. Already from the book of Daniel, we know that Babylon, under King Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed Judah to come and oppress God's people. But then later, the kingdom of the Medes attacks Babylon and kills the king. The Median kingdom, under King Darius, comes to power and becomes the top kingdom. Now, there's debate about which kingdoms in history the beasts represent. But the two basic options are on the screen and on your handout. Either it's the first one, we've got column one, interpretation one, the Babylonian kingdom, followed by the Median kingdom, then the Persian kingdom, and finally the Greek kingdom. Or it's interpretation two, the Babylonian kingdom, same as the first interpretation, but then the Medo-Persian kingdom is one of the beasts, followed by the Greek kingdom, and then the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. All four beast kingdoms came to power before Jesus was born. So in the vision, Daniel sees four earthly kingdoms followed by God's kingdom, which is ruled not by a beast. It's not a savage kingdom. No, it's ruled by one who looks like a son of man, one who looks like a human being. And the Christian interpretation of this is that it refers to the global, everlasting kingdom of God under the rule of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. The big meaning of the vision is, I think, simple. Earthly kingdoms come and go. They don't last forever. Fearsome kingdoms rise up to positions of dominant power. But later, their power and place is taken by another kingdom. In 2023, none of us feel threatened by the kingdom of Babylon. None of us feel overpowered by the Medo-Persian kingdom. Indeed, most of us don't even know anything about it. It's lost in history for us. But at the time, it was incredibly powerful. Greece still exists as a country, but the mighty Greek kingdom is long gone, as is the fearsome Roman Empire. Powerful kingdoms come and go. In their time, they look incredibly powerful and fearsome, but they don't last forever. In contrast, God's kingdom will last forever. The kingdom of the Son of Man will not pass away. It's going to be a global kingdom that includes people of all nationalities and languages. So what's the purpose of this vision? Think of it in the context of the time when it was first given to Daniel. When Daniel received it, he was in exile. He wasn't in God's kingdom. The kingdoms of Israel and Judah lay ruined and burnt far to the west of where he lived. No, when Daniel receives the vision, Babylon is firmly in charge, and the kingdom of God has been destroyed. The message of Daniel's vision was, and is for us today, one of encouragement to persevere in living for God in our present circumstances, whatever they might be. In spite of fearsome earthly kingdoms, God's kingdom will prevail and have the victory. In times when the kingdom you live in oppresses God's people, keep going, living faithfully for God. The Son of Man has been appointed to rule the true eternal kingdom. And today in 2023, we are waiting for the return of King Jesus. The world today is full of powerful kingdoms. At times they're fearsome. Russia has become a fearsome kingdom, attacking the Ukraine. Israel has attacked Gaza in response to the unprovoked attack by Hamas. And fearsome kingdoms oppress God's people today. On the screen is the Open Doors World Watch map, published each year to give details of the kingdoms and nations where it costs the most to follow Jesus Christ. And those are marked, the top 50 are marked in orange and red. North Korea has topped the World Watch list for years. North Korea is a beast kingdom in the same way as the ones that we just read about in the book of Daniel. It's a beast kingdom set against God's people, against Christians, persecuting God's people severely. Other nations in the World Watch top 10 include Somalia, Yemen, Eritrea, Libya, Pakistan, and Iran. Open Doors estimates that 5,621 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons in 2022. The beast kingdoms continue today. But this helps us to understand the vision. They're just ordinary kingdoms. You know, countries that people live in. But their nature is beastly because they oppress God's people. In countries where you have a robust Islamic government, there is almost automatically significant persecution of Christians, and especially for those who come to faith in Jesus from an Islamic background. Because we live in a country where there's freedom of religion, and it's like that across Western Europe and in America, Australia, South Africa, we just take that as normal. But that is not the norm across the world, and particularly in Islamic countries. In the light of this, the message of Daniel's vision in chapter 7 is that powerful kingdoms come and go. Beast kingdoms won't last forever. In time, they'll be defeated. In the 20th century, Germany became a beast kingdom under the Nazi leadership. But that is no longer the case. Kingdoms come and go, they change. Daniel's vision encourages us that however powerful earthly kingdoms look, however much a kingdom oppresses God's people, God's kingdom remains the true kingdom and will have the victory. God's kingdom will prevail. So in 2023, God is building his worldwide eternal kingdom under the rule of King Jesus. Let's turn to our New Testament reading, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. It's on page 979.
So the second reading is Matthew 13, verses 24 to 43, and that's found on page 979 in the Church Bibles. And this is three of Jesus's parables about the kingdom of God, referred to here as the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.
He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world.
Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the word of the Lord.
So I've got two more headings for this talk, and please be encouraged that they're shorter than my first point. So second heading for today, Jesus is growing his kingdom, but at the moment it is mixed and incomplete. In the parable of the weeds, Jesus paints a picture of a man who owns a field. He sows good wheat seed in the field, but at night an enemy comes and sows weeds in the field, a nasty trick. Jesus tells his disciples that the field in the parable represents the world, and its owner is the Son of Man. We should therefore connect this parable with Daniel's vision. Jesus is talking about the everlasting kingdom of Daniel chapter 7. The good wheat seed represents the sons of the kingdom, God's kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the devil, the evil one. The servants see the weeds and they ask the owner if they should go and pull them up. Yeah, good, they're being proactive. But Jesus' answer is no, because they might by mistake uproot some of the good wheat in the process. Instead, verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Jesus explains that the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters, the angels, who will be sent out by the Son of Man. Please look at verse 41. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. So what does this parable tell us about the kingdom of God in 2023? Well, Jesus is growing his kingdom today across the world, but at the moment, it's mixed and incomplete. So Jesus is telling us not to expect a full and complete kingdom now. The kingdom is mixed at present because we're living in the days between King Jesus' first and second comings. We're in the in-between days. The kingdom has expanded from geographical Israel, and it now includes people from all over the world. And this fits with the vision of the one like a son of man in Daniel 7. People of all nations and languages worshipping him. The prophetic vision of Daniel 7 is coming true in Jesus' kingdom. And we as a church are part of that now today. Jesus, the true king, the world belongs to him. It's his kingdom. But at present, the world's a mixture of two types of people. The people of the kingdom and the people of the evil one. Now that is quite a shocking contrast, isn't it? Very stark. In this parable, there are only two groups. Most people probably think they're somewhere in the middle. But each of us must ask, which of these am I? Am I a son of God's kingdom, or am I a son of the evil one? Jesus tells us to expect his kingdom to be obscured around the world because the evil one is also sowing his own children as well. And this means that we shouldn't expect the fullness of Jesus' kingdom right now. Don't expect full and true justice now. Yes, we work for justice, but don't expect it to be complete. Don't expect perfect institutions. Don't expect perfect schools. Don't expect perfect governments right now. There's always going to be the other things coming in, that the weeds and affecting it with evil. Don't expect perfect churches. Don't expect perfect businesses. The world is at present a mix of two types of people. And perhaps surprisingly, Jesus tells us not to uproot the people of the evil one, because we might make mistakes in the process and uproot some of the people of God's kingdom. We might not get it right as we look at people. Uprooting people who we think are not Christians is not our job. Jesus tells us it's the work of his angels. So the teaching of this parable is that in 2023, we should wait for the harvest at the end of the age. And this is my concluding point. Today we're in the age of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended to heaven. He's poured out his Holy Spirit on us. We're still in the same age that began 2,000 years ago when Jesus ascended. This age will end when Jesus returns as king. And you may remember from last week that the angel told the apostles that Jesus will come back in just the same way he left. He went up bodily into the sky. He's going to come back in the same way. Jesus tells us to wait for his return. Jesus will purify his kingdom in his time. And this is Jesus' introduction to the parable, verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest, both kinds of people. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them into bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. So a reckoning and a judgment is promised. And this is why we say that God's kingdom is both now and not yet at the same time. It has begun, It's growing around the world. It's growing in us. It's growing here in Essex. And it's growing into the great global kingdom that will endure forever. But it is also not yet. Evil continues in the world. We hear about it on the news, don't we, every day? Billions of people are not living under the rule of King Jesus. But Jesus says that it isn't our job to seek to destroy all the evil. Militant Muslims celebrate when they kill non-Muslim infidels, the kafir. But this is not the way of the kingdom for Jesus' followers. The kingdom is now in 2023, it's growing. A third of the global population identify as Christians at the moment. But it's not yet complete. And this balance is so important in our understanding, because it stops us becoming disillusioned when we look at the world and see all the bad things in it. So when you see very powerful beast-like kingdoms that speak boastfully against God and seek to oppress his people, do not be disillusioned. God's word tells us that this will happen, but we are to wait for the harvest at the end of the age. From another angle, in our context, many in our church family and across the Church of England are disheartened by the bishops and the General Synod who've given the go-ahead for the blessing of same-sex unions in church services. We see this as a corruption of Jesus' church, going against biblical teaching, and thus leading society astray by giving false assurance of God's blessing. And this is disheartening for many of us. But in spite of this, Jesus' parable tells us that the kingdom is growing at the present time. And it encourages us that while we wait for the harvest at the end of the age, we should continue to invest ourselves in serving King Jesus and proclaiming his gospel in our lives, with our energy, with our money, with our time, with our gifts and skills, and the resources that God has given us. So, in summary, God is building his worldwide eternal kingdom under the rule of King Jesus. Jesus is growing his kingdom in 2023, but at the moment it's mixed and incomplete. And we must remember that reality. And so we should wait for the harvest at the end of the age. Then we will be fully God's people, living in God's place under God's rule. The kingdom will be complete. And the logic of all this encourages us to regularly pray to our Heavenly Father exactly what Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's do that now. I'll give you a moment of quiet for your own thoughts and prayers, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, a true King for us to follow. We thank you that we can come into his kingdom through his death and resurrection. We thank you for this church that you are forming and growing, building here in Fordham and Ashgreen. Please continue your work amongst us. Hold us fast through difficulties, Lord, in our personal lives, in our national church, in our nation and world. Please hold us fast and keep us living for you and for your kingdom. And we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.